Dick Lugar repays taxpayers for his hotel bill. What's the political damage? The Indiana Youth Group loses its specialty plate. The governor signs a pair of tax cuts, and presidential candidates eye Indiana. That, plus a Henryville prom to remember, and more on Indiana Week in Review for the week ending March 23, 2012.
Ice Miller, proud to support Indiana Week in Review. The path to a successful business has unexpected twists and turns. The legal professionals at Ice Miller are dedicated to guiding businesses along the journey. Experience takes businesses to the top. Ice Miller can help them stay there. Ice Miller, it's a complex world. Be advised.
This week, Senator Richard Lugar announced that he's paying back $4,500 in taxpayer money. The money was spent for hotel stays here in Indiana. Lugar just learned that he must pay the hotel bill himself when the Senate is in adjournment. The $4,500 is an accumulation of bills over the last 10 years. It helps point up, however, that Lugar lives in Virginia, a fact that his opponents highlight as they argue that the senator is out of touch.
There was definitely a bookkeeping error by staff that we were correcting.
If I'm a United States Senator from Indiana, I won't be paying for hotel bills in Indiana because I live here.
Did Dick Lugar make a serious mistake? It's the first question for our Indiana Week in Review panel. Democrat Ann Delaney. Republican Mike McDaniel. Leslie Weidenbender, editor at thestatehousefile.com. And John Ketzenberger, president of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. I'm Wish TV State House reporter Jim Shella. Ann Delaney, is that a momentum changer?
Is that a momentum changer? I think the momentum isn't going to be changed. And if you look at the talking heads in Washington, the momentum is all the other way. This was a bad week for Richard Lugar. I mean, starting or bad 10 days, whenever it was, starting with the voting issue, into this, into endorsements by National Right to Life and the NRA.
Actually, Indiana Right to Life.
Indiana Right to Life and the NRA. And then two polls out, and then an announcement by Citizens United that they're going to spend a significant amount of money in Indiana for Richard Murdoch. I mean, I couldn't conceive of a worse week for Richard Lugar. The $4,500, I take what he says at face value, that was staffing error, okay? But it doesn't get him beyond the political problem. And the political problem is that's just when they were in adjournment. It's the tens of thousands of dollars that taxpayers have paid over the last 35 years for hotel rooms once he abandoned the state of Indiana. And that's the political problem he's facing.
This happened just as the Lugar campaign put out a commercial talking about Mickey Mouse attacks from his opponents. And it appeared you could make the argument that they were Mickey Mouse attacks, but now he's violated Senate rules. It gives it new weight, doesn't it?
No, I think this is more of the same of the Mickey Mouse attacks, quite frankly. This campaign is not about jobs. It's not about energy independence. It's stuff that we ought to be talking about in a campaign for the United States Senate, anywhere in the country, let alone in Indiana. This is about this kind of stuff, and it is a staff error, and they are going to pay that money back. This is the same guy who, as a steward of the taxpayer dollars, has given back $5.4 million over the course of the time he's been in the Senate. He's been a good steward of taxpayer money.
That's coming out of the same fund that pays these hotel bills.
But my point is $5.4 million he's given back, and as far as the political week he had, this is a guy who's got a 100% right to life vote record. So, you know, that's an argument that's not going to fly well with a lot of people because of the way that thing came
out. Well, but there are
the surveys,
Right to Life is upset about his votes
right.
on judicial
nominees. He's got 100% voting record by their score.
On their issues.
Right. But and as far as the polls are concerned, the two polls that Ann mentioned, one was a Democrat poll, one was a poll for his opponent, both of them still have him ahead.
But the thing is, if you talk about what a tough week he had, this
guy's doing a good job for Indiana, and he has forever.
If Leslie. You could sit with voters and make the case that you just made on a voter-by-voter basis and give the case for Dick Lugar, then you might be successful. The problem is, you're right, the campaign isn't about all the issues that Dick Lugar wants to be talking about and in the areas where he's strongest. So far, the discussion and the argument has been all about these things. And so you get into a problem where perception is more important than reality in these situations. And it was a very bad week for Dick Lugar in that way.
These polls were mentioned. They show Dick Lugar with a 6-point lead, 45-39 over Richard Murdoch.
Right.
That's not where you want to be if you're
No, you want to be over 50% if you're the incumbent, especially an incumbent as well known and with as much ability as Senator Lugar has had over time. So those polls are not exactly a sign of incredible strength, and I think that's certainly the way the Murdoch campaign is reading them right now. And I would agree completely about the perception problem that Senator Lugar has. It's been a drip, 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 and it's all being played on Richard Murdoch's turf right now. And we're at the point where the super PAC dollars are going to start to pour into this race. And the super PAC dollars are likely to come mostly on the side of Richard Murdoch because they're motivated, and I think they sense that they have an opportunity here.
Well, so Richard Murdoch has put himself in position. Like everything else we've seen in this race, they're not going to be supporting Richard Murdoch, but they'll be attacking
Richard Lugar. That's exactly right. But the upshot is that Richard Murdoch will win.
And they'll keep up this conversation about the things that Lugar is trying to call Mickey Mouse politics. It's up to Lugar to find a way to change this debate.
That's right.
And to make this race about the things that matter. And when he's out running ads that that counter all of the things they're talking about, he's just exacerbating the situation.
Right. Why are the Democrats polling Republican primary voters?
Oh, I think it's pretty obvious why they're polling Republican primary voters.
And they're because they're in collusion with Richard Murdoch.
Well, no, they're not talking to Richard Murdoch
at
all.
Talking they want to know. They got the same goal, right?
Well, I actually think that whoever Joe Donnelly faces is going to be vulnerable in the fall. But I think from a perspective of money and everything else, and also, you know, knowledge of the issues. I mean, you listen to Richard Murdoch. He clearly is not ready to be in the U.S. Senate. Clearly not ready to be in the U.S. Senate. Probably isn't ready to be in the Indiana General Assembly. So, you know, you've got that problem. But I think the biggest problem that Lugar has here is not even this business about taxpayers paying for his stays in Indiana. It's that the fact that he's been in public service for almost 50 years. And he's used to submitting those bills. I'd like to know how he's going to pay that $4,500 back. Is he going to take it out of a campaign?
You have to call him, man. I haven't talked to
him
about
Well, if he
that.
Does, all I'm suggesting I'm sure is that call. That opens up a whole other can of worms for him. Because these were supposed to be official visits. And if they're not official visits and he pays for it with campaign funds, that opens up every other question. Who paid for his care,
this
his
is
cab
exactly,
fare,
like this is exactly the kind of thing I'm talking about. They want to talk about that.
Right.
They want to talk about the collusion that you're talking about. I've had Democrat after Democrat tell me they know they can't beat Dick Lugar. But they think they can't beat Richard
Murdoch.
It's the
same Democrat you're
talking to. That's what
this
is about. That's what they're trying to do here.
Right.
And because they know they can't beat him with Joe Donnelly.
You're wrong.
And they won't. Well, no, I'm not wrong.
You are wrong. Because
Dick Lugar gets 25% of the Democrat vote every time he runs.
Not now he doesn't.
Well,
not when he tacks so far to the right and he opposed birth control. He's not going to get that percentage.
He may not get
it
at your house,
vote.
But there are a lot of Democrats that vote for him.
There are a lot of Democrats that won't.
Time now for viewer feedback. Each week we pose an unscientific poll question in connection with our Ice Miller email and text alerts. Last week's question was, who benefits most from the Lugar residency challenge? 29% said Richard Murdoch, 26% said Joe Donnelly, 45% said the legal profession. This week's question is, should the Indiana Youth Group get its specialty license plate returned? Your choices are A, yes, B, no, and C, do away with all of the specialty plates. To take part in the poll, just go to WFYI.org/IWIR and look for the poll. This week, a BMV employee was fired as the flap continued over a specialty license plate. The specialty plate for the Indiana Youth Group was taken away along with those of two other groups after a bill to eliminate 20 specialty plates died in the General Assembly. State Senator Jim Merritt started that effort.
There is significant interest to really revamp the program.
But there was an effort, at least by some, to target the youth group plate.
Well, yes, because that was what the letter was focused on.
The letter to the BMV was signed by 20 state senators, including Merritt, who say rules were broken, but the youth group believes it was targeted because of its mission to counsel gay teenagers.
We're not rolling over and letting this, we can't.
And while the youth group promises to fight back, Merritt worries that his effort to solve a bureaucratic problem has become something else.
It appeared this isn't about plates at all. It's about that group is the impression that's given.
Well, perception's everything.
Mike McDaniel, that perception is hard to explain, is it not?
It was the way he explained it there. and I feel bad for him because he's the originator of the bill. And the purpose of the bill that he filed was to take specialty plates and make them, instead of making them one-year plates, make them five-year plates, with the idea of saving the state money. That's what this original bill was all about. And then this thing got out of hand. I mean, we got some people who do want to see this particular group out of this mix. I don't think there's any question about that. But I think there was a whole lot more of the legislators who think that the whole 106 different specialty plate program is completely out of control. And we've got more groups that went on, and there are some groups that have not met their obligation. There's some that have.
And there's an entire debate about who should do this, the General Assembly or the BMV.
Well, that's also part of this mix. I mean, there's going to be a summer study commission on this whole subject. And believe me when I tell you that the BMV needs to be in control of this program. If they're going to do it, they need to do it right. They need to examine every contract for every group, make sure everybody's living up to the letter of those contracts.
Do they have the staff
those
to
contracts,
do that?
Well, that's the question. I think that's part of the problem. I think this is probably a nightmare for them. But if we're going to have this problem and you're going to let every group have these plates, you better have this program under control, and everybody has to be treated the same in these programs, and that's where we're going with this.
It isn't about control of the program. Sure it's about targeting this
group. Well, that's where Jim Merritt started, but this really came down to the youth
group. They couldn't pass it in the legislature because somebody proposed the Girl Scouts have a license plate, okay? And the Tea Party Looney Tunes in the House weren't going to go through the Girl Scout saga again, and so they pulled the bill. But now they're trying to do through the administration, through the Daniels administration, what they couldn't do with the legislature, and that is target one single group because they are opposed to a group that provides aid to homosexual
teenagers. Well, they didn't target
teenagers.
One single group.
They tried to cover it with a little Band-Aid by adding
the letter that were involved.
The other two groups violated the same rule that was cited in the letter that targeted just one group.
And vilifying the 4-H is, come on.
Well, Mitch Daniels said a little while back when asked what should be done about specialty plates, I don't know and I don't care. Mm-hmm. Should he get involved in this?
Clearly, the governor is in the last year of his term. But if you want a solution to the problem, somebody's got to lead it, and the most logical person to lead that is the governor. We've seen this back and forth between, is this a legislative function, is this a BMV function? And I think there's a very good argument made here for it being a BMV function, but under the current staffing and under the current circumstance, they can't do what they have to do to enforce all those contracts because there simply are too many plates. So until somebody takes charge of this problem and drives it, it's going to continue to be a problem.
Leslie, are you, like me, amused that this is taking place under the leadership of a governor who called for a truce on social issues?
I think I'm amused by the entire thing. I'm amused because years ago the legislature wanted out of the business of dealing with these license plates. I'm amused by the whole thing, and normally I try really hard not to express an opinion, but I think it is my father's slightly libertarian leanings coming through me when I say that I still to this day do not understand quite what the state's doing in the business of raising money for charities. But having said that, if they're going to do it, and that's fine, there's got to be a better way than fighting over individual plates.
Let me tell you, there's a lot of sentiment in the legislature to eliminate the program altogether, except for university plates, which was the original program. And if they do that, I can't wait to hear them tell people like breast cancer research and every fraternal organization. I mean, there are 106 of these things, and if you look at the list, I mean, it's pretty amazing the people that have acquired the rights to have these plates and for their organizations. I don't see them changing that. I don't see how they reverse
I don't,
that.
I agree with you. I don't see how they can go back.
But they better run it in a way that's fair to everybody.
The BMV makes money on these. What do they care if they have 106 or 506? What difference does it possibly
make? The
BMV doesn't make money on this.
Well, the governor said they made a little. The governor said they made a little. But I don't think the BMV does care. It's the lawmakers that care, and they're pushing.
If you're going to be in this business, you better care because it's a mess right now.
They care if the group deals with homosexual teenagers. That's what they care about.
Moving on. If you pay Indiana income taxes, you can now look forward to a refund next year. The governor signed the bill this week that also includes $6 million in additional compensation for state fair victims and $80 million for full-day kindergarten. Daniels, however, highlighted the refund that will be based on the size of the state surplus at the end of June. It will lead to tax credits in 2013 that were previously estimated at $50 per taxpayer.
we're raising our estimate of what this refund is likely to be, something closer in the area of $70 an individual, $140 for a joint return. 3.3 million Hoosiers will receive it, more or less.
John Katzenberger, does it matter that that refund is $50 or $70?
You know, I think the actual impact on individual taxpayers is negligible at that level. It's probably not going to be noticed very much. But, you know, from the amount of revenue that flows on an overall basis, it's a significant chunk of change. And to the governor, clearly, that's what he is interested in. He wants it to be as large as possible, and 70 is greater than 50.
How big a portion of the Daniels legacy is this refund?
I don't think it's as big as he thinks it's going to be. I think it'll all be forgotten very quickly. I mean, this little refund is going to get all caught up in people's tax returns. It'll either make their tax refund a little bigger, or it'll make the amount they have to pay a little smaller, and I'm not sure anybody will notice. And I think in a few years, this is not what Mitch Daniels will be remembered for.
No, you don't think that he's going to give speeches all over the country and talk about preserving $1 billion surplus in tough economic times, and on top of that, giving a tax refund?
If you ask Hoosiers in 10 years, they're not going to remember it.
In 10 years, that may be true, but there is some value in saying, yes, we gave money back when the government took care of the things they needed to take care of, and it is the taxpayers' money, and we gave it back. And $50 may not be a week's worth of lattes to end, but it's to a lot of people,
lattes.
It's a lot of groceries. And believe me, it does make a difference. And yeah, you're going to see, like Leslie said, you'll either get a break on your taxes if you owe taxes, or you get a little more back if they're going to give you a refund. And you know what? I think people appreciate that. Plus, the other thing in this is that they've raised the threshold to 12.5%. So this is probably a one-time
deal. That's the 12.5% right of the surplus before there's an automatic taxpayer refund. The next time it comes
right
up, it's
10%. So this is probably, to get to that level down the road is really a stretch.
Yeah, and they could, again, act in the next session of the legislature before those refunds are enacted as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's nonsense. It is like the inheritance tax, in the sense that what you're doing is robbing money for essential services. You talk about, we talked here about how necessary seatbelts were. Okay, we're not going to be having seatbelts here. We're not going to have a decent Department of Child Services that it does investigations on child's
great
death.
This is
on
why,
and on and on.
This is why this is hilarious. Because like 15 years ago, John Gregg proposed sending a $100 check to every taxpayer in Indiana. Democrats
then
loved it, and Republicans hated it.
Yeah.
And now we've just done a big flip flop.
Well, the governor also signed a phase out of the inheritance tax.
Yeah, for the wealthy.
Great idea.
For the wealthy. You
great
already
ideas
have an exemption to pass $250,000 to each of your children.
It was
how
raised
many
to
people can do that? How many people can do that? If you're paying estate tax in Indiana, it's because you were too cheap to hire a lawyer.
Well,
for your
if you don't
farm
have to pay a lawyer, you're ahead of the game.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, they're not paying. We're talking about a couple of thousand people and $150 million.
People lose their farms.
15% of which goes to the locals.
People
no,
lose their farms. Well,
that's
Don,
not
well,
why they lose their there farms.
Yeah.
Any
from
more
the Farm
than
Bureau,
they
is that a neighbor
Indiana
that
the right to work.
Well, still with the governor. Just this afternoon, he appointed a new state Supreme Court justice. The choice is Mark Massa, who was his general counsel, then at the governor's encouragement went to run for prosecutor and lost. Is this Massa's reward for taking one for
this
the team?
Massa was picked because he's qualified for the job. There were a lot of qualified applicants this time around, as there were last time around, and Mark was picked because he's capable. And he'll do a great job on the Supreme Court of the state of Indiana.
Now, I know Ann's going to say that it should have been a woman, but this is the sort of choice that Evan Bayh made.
Evan Bayh appointed a woman.
He also appointed the lawyer who won his residency case. He also appointed his budget director.
Yeah, after.
I don't think that
after he appointed a woman.
So I think Massa's qualified. It's obviously his reward for running for Marion County prosecutor. But the thing about it that offends me is now we are still and we remain one of only four states in the union without a woman on the bench when we're 52% of the population and darn close to half the lawyers.
I don't think the problem though is in that the governor didn't choose a woman. I think it's that there aren't enough women moving up in judicial positions in the appeals
women
court,
there were
and
qualified
only
women
one
apply
woman was sent to the governor
you know
to be
who
considered
controls the process for who sends them to the governor.
I agree.
The governor.
I
okay.
Agree.
And you had qualified women in that mix that he chose not to go with so he could appoint Mark Mastin.
All right. There's the potential here that there might be another vacancy or two before Mitch Daniels leaves office.
And you can bet that the pressure will only be ratcheted up by people who favor the having other representation on the Supreme Court. And I agree with Ann. It should be a diverse mix.
Leslie Gaines, the deputy political director of Newt Gingrich's national campaign, has been in Indianapolis looking for office space this week. The Gingrich campaign also named Rex Early as its Indiana chairman. Gingrich was campaigning in Louisiana, meantime, rejecting calls for him to leave the race and clear the path for a Mitt Romney nomination. The same goes for Rick Santorum, who believes the nomination fight is now a two-man race between him and Romney. Santorum supporter Mike Delf doesn't believe a prolonged battle will hurt the party.
I think it's good that we debate these different issues and that we let people have a say and express themselves. I think competition always makes candidates better.
We've always said we're going to leave the light on and to welcome Matt out. We just hosted a wonderful Super Bowl, and we're looking forward to hosting another good primary.
State Republican Chairman Eric Holcomb there, who's still looking forward to competition in Indiana. Mike McDaniel, will the path to the GOP nomination come through Indiana?
Yes, I think it will. I don't think our nominee will have enough delegates by the time they get to the May primary here, so it will still be in play from that standpoint. I think Newt Gingrich's pick of Rex Early, he couldn't have made a better pick. I mean, Rex has virtually tens of thousands of friends in the Republican Party all over Indiana, and we all know from our friendship with Rex, if he's a loyal friend, he'll do anything for you. This guy was a great pick for Newt Gingrich for this position.
You find it interesting, though, that Gingrich is setting his targets on Indiana?
No, I think Gingrich is going to go the entire way. I mean, he's raising his profile with there. His ego is being stroked. I assume he's making money on his book while he's doing this. And then he doesn't have another job, so why not?
Okay.
He has a sugar daddy in Nevada that writes $10 million checks to keep the planes flying, and he's going to do it as, you know, to the, what's it, the last dog dies? Isn't that a Rexism?
Time to drag out the Rexisms.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, what do you think, John? Is it good for Indiana Republicans to see this competition, or is it better for national Republicans to have this nomination wrapped up?
Wow, well, I think it's better for national Republicans if they can get it wrapped up, but I don't think they will, and so it's going to be highly entertaining for Indiana Republicans, and I think we're going to have an interesting show come May. And that's not bad for Wish and all the other TV stations in town.
Anybody that airs political ads, the governor and Eric Holcomb all along have said we want competition here. The governor has withheld his endorsement, presumably so that he could issue one just prior to the May 8th primary. This won't be anything like we saw with the Democrats in 2008, though.
No, in fact, I think that while no one may have it wrapped up by the time they come to Indiana, I think there's a pretty good chance we'll know who is going to wrap it up. So I'm not sure that it's going to be nearly the contest that it was when the Democrats were here.
You disappointed?
No.
No.
A little bit.
That's an honest answer.
A little bit.
Yeah. I'm still trying to catch up on sleep from 2008 myself. Lady Antebellum will give some southern Indiana students affected by this month's tornadoes a night to remember. The band picked Henryville High School as the winner of an online contest. The prize is that Lady Antebellum will perform at the school's prom. Henryville's rival, Silver Creek High School, submitted this winning video.
I'm just glad that they're going to have the opportunity to have something this great happen in their lives, because right now things have been going pretty bad.
It's a year that is going to be difficult for them to look back on, but this is giving them something that is going to make it so much easier to look back on with a smile on their face.
And Delaney, what's the best part of this story? The fact that Lady Antebellum's going to do this concert, or that Silver Creek made it possible?
I think that Silver Creek made it possible. I think Lady Antebellum is great. They're great that's doing it. But the fact that the rivals nominated them, I think, is a step up above that.
Yeah, I get emotional.
I think this is a wonderful story, and I think it's great they're doing it. And this will be a thrill of a lifetime for these kids.
It's not really going to be a prom, though. Do you think Lady Antebellum will play a slow song so that they even dance?
Yes, I think absolutely. Yes, it's still going to be a prom, and I bet they have a ball making it more like a prom. I don't think it'll be a concert. I think it'll be a prom.
It's going to be a party, and that's going to be important. And I think that's what's the best part about all this. Everything. the community pulling together after the tragedy and the disaster, the band deciding to do this, and the party that they're going to have as a result. I think it'll be wonderful.
They should invite Silver Creek.
Yeah, absolutely.
They should. They should. And Henryville got back to school this week, not in their own school building, but it's been a good week down there.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And the Luger campaign staff was down helping clean up, so maybe it wasn't
good.
Entirely a bad
I'm
week.
I'm not sure it balances the rest of the stories, but every little bit can help.
That's Indiana Week in Review for this week. Our panel is Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike McDaniel, Leslie Weidenbender of the StateHouseFile.com, and John Ketzenberger of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. If you'd like a podcast of this program, you can find it at WFYI.org/podcast, or starting Monday, you can stream it or get it on demand from Xfinity or Bright House Networks. I'm Jim Shella of Wish TV. We'll see you again next week.
Ice Miller, proud to support Indiana Week in Review. Things can go wrong in a thousand different ways. Businesses need a law firm that knows the thousand and first. The team of legal professionals at Ice Miller is committed to helping put the pieces back together. Ice Miller, it's a complex world. Be advised.